because the Bible is not a book of just education. It's a book of application. And in order to see the fruit manifest in your life, you must not come to church not another day to just be educated, but so that you can hear what to do and go apply it. That makes the difference between great men and great women, both in the world and in the God's kingdom, that they take what they know and they apply it. The Lord began to tell me after we had finished the series, Walking with Him, that there was a great outpour of the Word of God into the lives of many of you. That there was a great feeding and feasting upon the Word. And when that Word came, it was joyous to learn new things and to grow in ways you've never grown before. But the Bible went on to tell me a story of a sower who went into a field to sow. And the sower is Jesus said, is God and people who bring the Word of God to others. So in this case, I would be the sower. And he says this parable to you and I. It's found in Mark chapter 4, verse 13. He speaks this to the church because the disciples didn't understand. Jesus used parables to those who were not part of his following, but he spoke the truth in clarity, though, to those who followed him. And I need you to understand what is happening even in your life. Right now, there is a crunching in people's emotions. Many of you are wondering, man, it's not like everything's falling apart, but it just feels like, man, there's a weight, a pressure, either on my mind or my heart to go do something. And many of you have responded to that by going into prayer. You don't even know why. You just feel like there's trouble. I got to pray. And others are reacting by fear, and they're just, you know, don't know what to do. And others still are just trying to get out of underneath what they're feeling. And I need you to stand still. I need you to understand what's happening and how to deal with it. I want you to quickly look at this verse. It says this, and Jesus said to them in verse 13 in the New Living Translation. Then Jesus said to them, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? And then he says, the farmer plants seeds by taking God's words to others. We are in verse 13. Are we there? Yes. How will you understand other parables? And then the next verse, the farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. That's what we did, and that's what we're doing. The seed that fell upon the footpath represents those who hear the message, only to have Satan come at once and take it away. Now, let me be very clear that you understand the power of this one line. The seed that fell on the footpath. Would you underline the word footpath, please? Mark that and never forget it, because that's the key to this entire text and this understanding. He said the seed that fell upon the footpath. In other words, when you go farming, typically, there are lines leading into the field, and you can walk along these barren lines, and you toss into the field, and you toss so that there's a field that's ready and ripe and good soil, and that's where you expect the crop to grow up, but you don't expect the crop to grow up on the footpath. And so the farmer went out and he was throwing seed, but there were some seed that fell upon the footpath. Now, did the seed have the ability to grow in the footpath? The answer is yes. It could have grown in the footpath. But because the seed was alone and exposed, the birds didn't have to dive into the field and get all caught up with the weeds and the wheat or the corn. It simply went to the open space where the seed was not committed to the growing place and began to take it out. The only way the enemy can stop you from growing is when you stay out of the field where you can grow. If you don't commit yourself out of the footpath and into the field where the seeds are covered with wheat, with grass and corn and wheat, where the birds can't dive down and get it, if you stay on the dry ground and say, I'll just walk the footpath, I'm not getting involved in the growth, I'm not getting involved in the field, I'm going to stay on the footpath. Yes, I see what's happening over here. Yes, I see growth. Yes, I see development. But this is why the enemy can take it, because you're not committed to the left or the right. You're stuck in the middle. And so what does he do? He looks for people that are staying or coming to the body of Christ, and they stay uncommitted. They stay in the middle ground and say, I want to grow, but you cannot grow without serving somebody else. Somebody say amen. You cannot find the time to sow or the place for your seed that you hear to go down deep in the ground when you're out in the open where the enemy can see you and he knows you're not serving. He'll pluck the word right out of your heart. Many of you are on the verge of giving up serving because it's hard, or someone said or did something. Let me say to you, sir, let me say to you, ma'am, stay in the field, because that's where the ground is ready to grow. Come on, somebody. Be not weary with well-doing, but you will reap in due season if you what? Faint not. You have to commit yourself not to the footpath, but to the field. Ladies and gentlemen, the enemy can only be found on the footpath. Those uncommitted seeds, those uncommitted souls who are just trying to get to one place to another. But God's trying to get you planted. He's trying to get you plugged in. He's trying to give you a strip of land where you can grow 30, 60, and 100 fold. But when you stay uncommitted and unserving, that's what the enemy says, oh, I could take out of their heart what they just heard. Ladies and gentlemen, I need you to no longer waffle between the left or the right, but commit to the field of the Lord. Let me show you what happened when the seed hit the right ground. It says down several verses, and the seed that fell on good soil, not the footpath, represents those who heard and what? Accepted God's word. And they produced a harvest of 30, 60, even 100 times as much as have been planted. Let me say to you, church, your full potential may not be met just yet, but it begins by plugging into the kingdom of God. Now, let me say this to you. It's not just about serving at a local church. It's about learning the word of God and sharing it. Maybe God's called some of you to be farmers, to share the good news of what God has done. You won't stay on the footpath. You'll get down in the field. Ladies and gentlemen, some of you have God's called because you have a gift to give to the body. maybe administrative gifts. Maybe you have a gift for children. Maybe some of you have the ability to clean, and you just got an eye for that. Maybe some of you are construction-minded. Some of you are strategic-minded. Some of you can help direct or financially-minded, can help the church grow in so many ways. Some of you have a passion to teach the word, preach the word, and to care for others. Whatever your gift is, it was designed to help the body. And when we stay on the footpath, then we lose the desire to come to church anymore. Why? Because the word is no longer effective. Because as long as we stay out of the game, the enemy comes and takes the seed that encouraged us, that we first enjoyed. And so God says, don't give up. Don't give in. And don't stay in the middle. Decide. Serve in the fields of the Lord. When Jesus looked over the fields, he says, look, the fields are white and ready for harvest. He says, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he may send laborers into the field, not onto the footpath, into the field. Because I need you to know that you're important in changing this world. You might say, well, Pastor Steve, I see the world changing all around me on television. That's because someone put a camera on them. But do you need a camera to change the world? Nah. You can change the world right here, right now, by just saying to the Lord, I commit myself to the kingdom. And when you do that and you serve, find a place where you're good at and plug in, the world begins to change right then. Right at that moment. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, in this series called Fight the Power, I want to teach you how to resist the enemy. I want you to come next week and hear me as I teach you a very powerful tool so that you're not tossed to and fro by the enemy's words. When things happen in your life, and they will happen, Jesus didn't say when you get saved, everything gets great. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. But be of good cheer, for I will be with you even to the end of the world. He never said the trouble's going to stop. He says, but now you got a big brother in there with you, and I look over you. How many remember that old movie that used to come out years ago called Bodyguard? Anybody remember that movie, Bodyguard? That dude used to come on the field, and he had a friend, and his friend was big. He used to always fight for him. That's what you got now. You got a bodyguard when you walk in Christ. Christ will walk you through what David said. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For what? My bodyguard is with me. That's what it is for you. Today, though, when you walk outside these doors, don't ignore the tent. Don't ignore the slots that are available to serve. I want you to get into the field. And let us work. What would it look like if you and I put our hands to the plow and didn't look back? What could we do in this city? Who could we reach around the world? Jesus only had 12 and turned the world upside down. I want you to look around how many are in this room. Look around. I want you to see how many of different color, races, and creeds are in this room. What if we banded together as soldiers and worked the field together? Today, I'm going to ask that you do that. I'm going to pray a prayer over you, and then I'm going to release you to go right outside those doors and help us get ready for two services. Because when we have two services, that's twice the amount of people we'll be able to minister to. And then when that happens, that's twice the amount of souls that can come into the kingdom. And when that happens, man, we're going to make sure the enemy knows he should have never touched your life. Hello, somebody. Would you stretch your hands towards me as we get ready to go?